April 28, 1978, Plaza Hotel, New York. In a hotel room, a pudgy middle-aged man stands shirtless by a bed. He puts on a dress shirt and slides his arms through the sleeves. Thin wisps of hair reach across his bald scalp, and a beard connects with his sideburns. He wears a pair of necklaces, one with a Star of David pendant. His wrist sports a gold watch. Standing in front of the mirror, he uses a comb to rat a tuft of hair at the back of his head. He tugs the comb free, making a large cowlick. He lays a bushy toupee on his bald patch, then uses a small brush to apply adhesive around its edges. Folding his hair over the wig, he glues it to the hairpiece. Later, he pats at his hair and sets down the comb. Donning a pair of large-framed, metal-rimmed sunglasses, he tucks back a strand of hair on his forehead. Later, he sprays his hair. He wears a gold ascot, and his burgundy suit jacket matches his pants and vest. He walks down a hall into another room, where he stops behind two men seated at a desk. They watch a live feed on a pair of monitors as a reel-to-reel tape deck records a scene in another room. The burgundy-suited man turns back toward the front door as a beautiful woman with long auburn hair enters. The open neckline of her blouse plunges to the waistband of her gold pants. He gives her a grave look, and she returns a slight nod. A younger man with a short perm and beard storms into the room.
What are you doing, going behind my back? Telling people I'm screwing up this operation? I got you a suite at the fucking Plaza Hotel.
The shittiest suite at the
what?
Plaza Hotel. The shittiest fucking suite. And the
based
food
on what?
Is wrong? And
the
what
food?
Is this? What is
this?
You like going in my closet or something?
No.
Are you dressing him like you dress me?
No, what are you thinking? This isn't all about you.
What, did you try to dress me so I would look like him?
No, you're not dressed like him, all right?
I do look, I look like him.
No, he's in, like, velvet.
You asked me to show you how this was done. You want to fuck it up? Be my guest.
What is your problem?
Hey, look, I never laid a hand on her, right? Is that what this is about?
Well, technically, that's not true.
Look, we never had sex, okay? I just, what do I do? I went like this. What do I do? I put my hand like this.
He touches the older man's cheek.
Oh, you fucking touch me. That bothers me.
Oh, it does?
Oh, yeah.
That bothers you?
Yes.
You know, a lot of shit bothers me, too, but I was trying to help you. If I wanted to bother you, if I really wanted to fucking bother you, this is what I'd do.
If I was trying to bother you, that's what I would do.
He tousles the man's hair.
You shouldn't have done that.
The older man glares.
How's that? You bothered now?
The older man takes a deep breath.
All right, don't make a thing of it.
You shouldn't touch him. He doesn't like that.
Maybe fix his hair. No, Jesus Christ, don't make a thing
of it. Takes it some time, okay? It's not like just...
She works on his hair.
We gotta get in the other room, come on. The mayor's in there.
Yes, I know that.
He smooths his toupee over.
Should we go to the beauty parlor? Is that what we should do?
The younger man opens a brown briefcase filled with money. The older man adjusts his glasses.
How's it look?
Look fine.
Let's go.
The younger man carries the briefcase as the three of them walk down a long hallway in slow motion. Titles appear. Columbia Pictures and Annapurna Pictures present an Atlas Entertainment production. At the end of the hallway, the woman opens a set of double doors and they walk through.
Times are hard, you're afraid to pay the fee.
American Hustle.
Find yourself somebody who can do the job for free.
The woman smiles as they step into a brightly lit suite. By the window, a man with slick back hair smokes with a gray-haired man in glasses. The gray-haired man points at the new arrivals. The young man and the woman shake hands with the slick-haired man. They all take seats on a pair of couches, and the young man puts the briefcase on the floor.
I think this is face-to-face, person-to-person. That's just why I call you old-fashioned, but...
The young man slides the briefcase toward the slick-haired man.
Excuse me. I'll handle that for the mayor.
No, it's for the mayor. It'd be a sign of disrespect to the Sheik if the mayor didn't take it. It's for you, Mayor.
The slick-haired man glares at him.
What are you doing? What, Carl, what the fuck? What
I
is
know,
this?
I'm gonna take care of it. Everything's good. I got everything under control.
That's whoa, right. Whoa. Hey, what is this?
I don't know. I don't know you.
I don't know what the fuck that is, but it's weird. You understand?
Misunderstanding.
Look, I came here to meet a Sheik. That's all I know. I'm very interested in that, but he's not here, apparently. You, Carl, you know what I mean? This is not right. Look, I'm very interested in meeting in the Sheik. You let me know when that can happen, okay? Thank you. Have a good day.
The mayor leaves.
Irving, you better come get him.
Go out there and get him right now.
Help me get him back. Get him.
I didn't want to do this in the first place. Irving. This is your show. You go get him.
No, you have no choice. You have to go get him. Now go get him so he takes the briefcase by himself. That's the whole plan, Irving.
Irving faces the young man.
What were you doing pushing the fucking briefcase, dummy? Huh?
But the whole fucking thing was falling apart. You know how much it fucking cost for this goddamn hotel that you fucking asked for?
Now I gotta go mop up your mess. I'm gonna go fucking mop up your mess.
Watching Irving walk back down the hall, the woman fixates on him tensely.
You understand what I'm saying, right? You understand that it wasn't working. He was getting upset about the Sheik.
Irving pushes the elevator button.
Did you ever have to find a way to survive? And you knew your choices were bad. I learned how to survive when I was a kid.
A young Irving throws a rock through a window.
My father had a glass business. I would rather be on the taking side than the getting taken side any day of the week, especially after I saw how my father got taken.
Men argue with his father.
I mean, seeing that scarred me for life.
The boy looks at his mother.
I took it upon myself to drum a business.
Young Irving breaks several windows.
I became a different kind of guy than my father. I became a con artist, for real, from the feet up. Always gonna survive, no matter what. I still had the glass business and a few dry cleaning stores also. And I did some art dealing on the side, stolen or forged art.
Your host, enjoy.
So, one January, I go to my friend's pool party in Long Island.
Guests drink and chat around an indoor pool. Irving sits with some friends in a corner talking. He laughs, then spots the auburn-haired woman. Captivated, his smile fades. She notices him, smiling faintly as they hold each other's gaze. Later, she reaches for a platter of vegetables. A bracelet with a man's face on the beads dangles from her wrist. Irving grabs her forearm.
Is that Duke Ellington on your bracelet?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. He died this year, you know?
I know. I doubt anyone else here knows or cares about it.
Well, I care about it. He saved my life many times.
Mine too. Which one?
Cheap's Blues.
Cheap's Blues?
Mm-hmm. Cheap's Blues.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Right now?
Yeah.
Sure.
With wide eyes, she watches Irving as he steps away. In another room, they sit. The record spins on a turntable, and the woman reads the back of the album jacket. Irving sits across from her, his large belly hanging from his open shirt. He holds up his arms, opening his hands as the horns flare.
Who starts a song like that?
It's magic.
Shaking her head, she smiles at him.
Magic.
He grins and nods. She cocks an eyebrow.
He wasn't necessarily in good shape, and he had this comb over that was rather elaborate.
Eyes closed, he lowers his head.
He had this air about him, and he had this confidence that drew me to him. He was who he was. He didn't care.
Irving softly bobs his hand like a conductor.
I mean, she was a very particular person.
She intently watches with admiration.
Like me, she had come from a place where her options were limited.
In a dark, smoky bar, she dances on stage in trashy lingerie. She runs her hands down her swaying hips.
It actually can feel kind of sexy sometimes. There's a boldness in it.
She peers out over the crowd with a tired look.
But where would that boldness take me? I didn't know.
She slowly raises her head.
But I was gonna find out.
Daytime, she walks down a street.
Like me, she learned to survive and reinvent herself. She knew she had to reinvent her life and her identity. And like me, she envisioned a better, elegant future for herself. Like me, she knew you had to have a vision. She came to New York, she envisioned it, and just like that, she applied for a job at Cosmopolitan magazine.
Well, you're obviously here for a reason. Let's get to it.
Right.
Our cover story right now is on Cunnilingus. What do you think about that?
I like it.
Do you have any clerical skills? Can you type?
She was unlike anybody I ever knew. She was smart, she saw through people and situations, and she knew how to live with passion and style. She understood Duke Ellington.
At the Cosmopolitan office, she steps into a photography studio.
I was broke, fearless, with nothing to lose. And my dream, more than anything, was to become anyone else other than who I was.
Back at the party, Irving holds her from behind as they sway to the beat. Now they enter a dry cleaning shop.
He had a chain of dry cleaning stores.
I got two in the Bronx and three in Manhattan. Hey, Byron. How you doing? This is Shid. Right here, come through.
He asked me if I wanted to come in and upgrade my wardrobe. He said he had a lot of nice things that got left behind by people and forgotten over the years.
And you wouldn't believe the shit that people leave behind here. They're unbelievable.
People leave
come back
stuff
here.
Here?
Oh, yeah. They go out for the night, you know, they drink. Come in the morning, put their clothes in, and then they forget. They got no idea where they left it. Look at that sequin thing. I don't know, is that nice or not? I mean, some of it's been here for years. They're not picking it up. No one's picking it up. Do you like it?
I love it.
Sydney, it's yours. You want it? It's yours.
Later, she models a green and white dress.
I like it. You look fantastic.
In a black dress, she tosses her hair.
Oh, my God. I could only dream about these dresses. They're beautiful.
She holds up a multicolored jacket.
This. You know, it's beautiful. Put it on. Come on. Look at that. Please. Perfect for you.
She puts it on him.
Really?
She rubs his chest. He drapes a fur coat on her shoulders.
I felt like we had a secret, just the two of us. You know, like that thing when you just want to be with the one person the whole time, and you feel like the two of you understand something that nobody else gets.
She takes his glasses.
I could just tell her everything about myself.
They stand in the middle of the clothing conveyor, clothes swirling around them. She brushes his hair back behind his ear.
And I'd never had anybody like that in my life before. I felt like finally I could truly be myself without being ashamed, without being embarrassed.